On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, Canada. Pleased to be here all week if you're listening across the country. I do this every day in Ottawa, so it's nice to be national. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about how COVID is affecting professional sports. NHL postponing, well, any cross-border games really until the 23rd, which is the start of the holiday break. This is all because of the crush of COVID cases in the league. Roughly 10% of the 700-plus players now in COVID protocol. NHL adding the Detroit Red Wings to the list of teams, told to shut down because of the outbreaks. We're talking Calgary, Colorado, Florida, Nashville, Boston Bruins. I know some games in Ottawa were postponed. In Montreal, they played a couple days ago without fans. Big question, of course, is can pro sports handle another lockdown? And then what about the Beijing Olympics? What are the chances that NHL players will go there? Let's just say they're dwindling more and more every hour. What does this all mean? Let's bring in Moshe Lander, senior lecturer when it comes to the business of sports economics at Concordia University in Montreal. Good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
How hard is this going to hit pro sports? I mean, can they afford another lockdown?
Not really. I mean, look, they can't afford it in the sense that it doesn't help their profitability. They can afford it in the sense that we're not going to see any franchises revoked or any teams merging the way we did 100 years ago when, if you can believe it, there was a temporary time where the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL merged together to form, I think it was the Steagles. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see anything like that happening, you know, with the Seninadians or something like that.
Yeah, but it must be pressure, right? I mean, this is major industry on beyond the ice.
Yeah, and, you know, notwithstanding the recent billion-dollar deals that the NHL did with ESPN and TNT, the NHL, more than any of the other leagues, is really reliant on gate revenue. So they do need fans coming in. And, you know, Ontario now reducing it to 50% capacity. BC has done the same. Alberta hasn't done anything yet, but at some point they're probably going to have to. And like you said, Montreal was playing to an empty arena a couple of days ago. The fact is that, you know, if you don't have fans coming through, that's not helping things. And it's not going to help player salaries where their salaries are linked to revenues.
And when they play, do they get paid or not play, rather?
Well, I mean, that's going to have to be what they collectively bargain and agree to. Mm. The fact is that the NHL is probably going to come up with a plan to make sure that all 82 games are played at the end of the season. Yeah. If you remember last year, the playoffs had started, and I think Calgary and Vancouver were still playing games for the regular season, even though neither of them were in the playoffs, and even though it had really nothing to do. It was just a matter of trying to satisfy TV partners and to make sure that players did get paid.
I guess they're lucky this year in that the Olympics give them a break, right? They would normally not play for, was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, there's going to be a three-week pause
there. Okay.
I have a feeling that 3 weeks is now going to become NHL games. I can't see any conceivable way in which the NHL is going to send its players, especially when you're hearing some of the rules about quarantine in China and that the final decision rests with the Chinese government. You could imagine the diplomatic incidents that could occur if, Connor McDavid is locked down in a Chinese hotel, unable to go and rejoin his team because the Chinese government doesn't feel that he's safe to travel.
On a side note, that lessens our chance for a goal, does it not?
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, it also lessens our chance of heartbreak of not winning the gold. So, yeah.
So when at the end of the day, if this is the NHL, we don't know how long this is going to last. What preparations are ongoing in other leagues potentially now?
Well, you can see that other leagues are suffering too. We're actually going to see two Monday night football games tonight, and we're going to see two Tuesday night football games tomorrow. So, you know, the NFL is trying to figure out a way to salvage the very end of its season, and they're near the finish line, right? Unlike hockey, which is barely halfway through, the NFL is in the final 4 weeks, and they want to make sure that everything gets done. The NBA is the comparable, and what the NBA is doing at this point is saying that we need to maybe go back to a more basic style of everybody has to wear masks regardless of your status, and everybody has to submit to daily testing, and they're going to have to kind of make it a little more stringent, but they're also going to have to redefine what exactly it means to enter the protocol. If you don't actually have COVID symptoms, should you be allowed to take the ice and play, or is it going to be the type of thing that because you came in contact with somebody who might have Omicron, which is kind of what they have now. And that's what's really doing the damage to the team.
So rapid testing, which is what I understand. I mean, they were the first, right? Pro athletes were the first to roll out the, or at least the leagues were, the rapid testing. And it worked, at least initially.
It did. And, you know, the real issue at this point is that in a weird sort of way, we kind of knew what Delta was at the time.
Right.
We don't fully know yet what Omicron is. And so, you know, we're hearing stories now that maybe it's transmissibility or maybe the symptoms aren't the traditional kind of big three that you'd look for with a Delta infection. So the issue now is going to be, how does the NHL and other professional leagues adapt quickly to the science of what Omicron is and how to contain it? And so that could be barring fans, that could be reducing capacity, and that could be changing what it means to enter COVID protocol.
Well, there's nothing we haven't been through before.
No, and I think if there's a positive in all of this, it's that they've been able to go through two seasons under the threat of COVID. And so while it's maybe not good for the bottom line, they do at least know how to make sure that the product keeps going out. And, you know, with baseball gearing up potentially in the next couple of months for spring training, the fact is that they're going to be watching what's going on right now, saying, how do we make sure that we deliver 162 games? Because media companies are really reliant on that programming. It's one of the last few live programs where you can set your watch and know that something's going to be on at this time for a certain number of games for a certain number of months. And advertisers like that. And that's going to be a big way then that these leagues are going to try and recoup some of the revenue that they're losing from not having fans.
So we're going to have canned fans again, the audio on these games.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you have a good headshot there and send it in so that they can put you in the front row at the Sens games.
But the difference is this particular point. I mean, in the United States, it's a different pandemic than it was back when they first rolled out these measures. And a lot of America has said, you know, we're going forward. We're back to normal here. I'm wondering if it'll play out differently potentially here.
Yeah, I mean, on a province-to-province basis, it's going to play out differently too, right? There is a difference in just neighboring BC and Alberta as to how they're approaching and how they've approached the pandemic for the last 2 years. So you can imagine that the Oilers and the Flames might be looking at different sort of restrictions than the Canucks. The issue is going to be, how do the players respond when, you know, in one arena there's 18,000 screaming fans and another one it's dead silence or canned voices, like you mentioned. So I think it's different between Canada and the U.S. for sure, but I think it's not uniform in Canada either.
Back to the Olympics, this could go beyond hockey, right, in terms of athletes going to the games. I hear Rafael Nadal has tested positive. Now, the Olympics are still a couple weeks away, but that being said, there could be more athletes prevented from going or even participating.
Yeah, now, Nadal is not going to be competing because tennis is a summer sport, but yeah, the fact is that, this virus originated out of China. And the fact is that 2 years later, it's still not under control. And you're going into a regime that doesn't necessarily treat human rights as something that's to be respected and tolerated. And so, you know, we saw what happened in Tokyo just a few months ago. And so I think there's a lot of political uncertainty. We've seen the diplomatic boycotts being announced and things like that. So when you add COVID and that, and the fact that, you know, the athletes could be imprisoned, so to speak, if they do test positive, I think there's a whole bunch of sports here that are very nervously watching. Hockey is the headliner, one of the headliners for Winter Olympics. But if you can imagine some of the sports that are lesser exposed, that's their one opportunity in a four-year cycle to gain international recognition. They're going to have a very difficult decision in deciding, do we go and risk it, or do we sit this one out? And is it a sport-to-sport decision, or is it an athlete-to-athlete decision?
Are we going to see an asterisk when we just call it now next to every medal?
Yeah, we could do the asterisk, but that could also just mean that you overcame heroic circumstances as much as maybe some of the best people weren't there.
This story, of course, continuing to evolve, a lot more changes potentially. I'll just call it now. There will be more changes. Moshe Lander, Senior Lecturer, Business of Sports Economics at Montreal's Concordia University. Thank you for your time and insights. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right, coming up, we've all got our favorite mask, right? Well, we're being warned it isn't going to cut it against Omicron. What you need to know, the germ guy, Jason Tetrol, will join us next. Leslie Roberts on the iHeart Radio Network. Don't go away.
Mostly cloudy today. There is a chance of late afternoon.